From NPR News, I'm Tony Cox. Last week's suicide attack on an Army base is just the latest in a series of catastrophic events to strike U.S. military forces in Iraq. And they've not gone unnoticed by the people the Pentagon would love most to recruit, young, gung-ho men and women. But new figures show a decline in enlistees, including African Americans, who comprised 21% of recruits 2 years ago, but only 15% now. Since the war first started, youth radio has been collecting stories from young African Americans who've served or continue to serve in the U.S. military. Youth Radio's Irie Reyes brings us three of their stories.
Let me introduce you to Carl Covington, Terrence Harris, and Charles Handy. Terrence just finished boot camp, and Charles enlisted into the Army before the U.S. invaded Iraq. So did Carl. He was in charge of equipment maintenance and supplies in the field. 6 days before he was scheduled to ship back, Carl was badly injured.
We had a TNX section, and there was a 155-millimeter artillery shell. It blew up. The ground was shaking. My friend told me, he said, "Man, your legs, you're messed up pretty bad. Are you hurt? He said, "You're bleeding pretty bad from your legs." I said, "I don't know. I don't feel anything."
Carl said from there, it just got worse.
I had a hole in my left leg about a foot long and 5 inches wide on both sides of my calf, and my kneecap was blown off on my right leg, and I had two holes about the size of a silver dollar underneath my knee. I was happy it was over. I was like, if I come home, you know, it's cool. If I don't make it, you know, that's cool too. I'm done. I'm tired. I'm tired of this lifestyle. I'm done. 3 years of it didn't go into war. I mean, there's not a day goes by that you're happy to be there. And my first sergeant told us, "I don't care what you do. If you see an Iraqi outside past 9 o'clock, I want you to shoot them. Shoot them dead, because they're planting out IEDs out in the roads." He said his job was to make sure we came home.
And that's where Carl went to recover, lying on his mom's couch in the San Francisco Bay Area. And then there's Terrence Harris. He's passionate about the military. When Terrence finished boot camp, he started working as a hometown recruiter, visiting high schools to get students to enlist. He was a member of the junior ROTC as a high school student himself. That's when he went to a recruiting office where he met Sergeant McGee.
Iraq is in a struggle, but Sergeant McGee showed me how people weren't eating. They didn't have clothes. They didn't have shoes.
Terrence signed up for the Army. He's 19. He knows he may be sent to Iraq. Terrence's feelings about Iraqis sound similar to what we've heard from some other U.S. soldiers.
The Army, going over there, a lot of things need to be done, and a lot of uncivilized ways they have. And some people ask me, do I have fear as far as joining the Army and getting hurt? And I tell you, when you walk in the level of faith that I walk in with the Lord, fear is not an option. It's not an idea. It's not a thought. If Iraq is where they like to send me, I wouldn't mind going and experiencing it. I believe the benefits of it when you get back are powerful. You know, money can't buy what you understand, how you feel and what you see, how all of that changes when you go on a tour like that in Iraq. This uniform is powerful. My first negative experience I ever had with someone, I was in uniform. When a man came up to me out of rage, and I'm a very relaxed person, but he said, "You know, what the F you doing?" And it was like his eyes went from clear white to red. Bloody red. I told him that's my decision that I needed to make. This is just Oakland. You know, I plan to see the world.
That's Terrence Harris. Now, Charles Handy has seen some of the world as part of the military, and
it's going to sound crazy, but I probably feel more safe over in Iraq compared to Oakland.
When Charles returned home to Oakland, he got a hero's welcome. He never saw combat in Iraq. But his time at war made him realize something crazy about combat in his own neighborhood.
Being over there, I had ammunition, my flight vest, and Kevlar. I knew if something happened, I'd be licensed just to kill somebody if they wanted to try to pull a gun on me or something like that.
It is one of the deadliest attacks against U.S. soldiers since the war began.
Commanders say their door-to-door patrols have uncovered
nearly 2,000. We're getting you information about a deadly rocket and mortar attack on a U.S. and Iraqi.
When I went, got to America, you know, I wanted to, like, kiss the ground. I wanted to, but I didn't, but I just, like, hugged everybody and, you know, I don't know, I almost cried and stuff. But my little cousins, they say ever since I came back from the Army, like, from Iraq and stuff, I don't like to play with them so much. They sound, like, too serious. I think in some ways, since I've been back, that I am a little bit more serious. But I see that being back in Oakland, it's like, I like Oakland, I love Oakland, and I got, like, friends and family. But at the same time, it's a lot of bad things here, too. But I just try to, you know, stay away from all that stuff. My best friend or whatever, he probably experienced more combat in Oakland than I experienced, like, out in Iraq, because he was telling me one night how he almost got shot and he dodged, like, 2 bullets. I was over there with M16s and, you know, going on convoys and things like that, but nobody ever shot at me. And, you know, he was over here just walking home one day and, you know, somebody shot at him.
Charles made it clear he doesn't plan on going back to Iraq. Terrence is now working as an X-ray technician at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, and Carl is recovering at Walter Reed Medical Center. For NPR News, I'm Irie Reyes.